piss. Keep it simple, stupid.
Ready? We'll start this show already.
Okay.
Testicles, one, two. Testicles. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Paranoid Radio Podcast. I am your humble host, Trebles Garcia. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank the Lord for allowing me to be here today, and I want to thank every single one of you for allowing me to enter your space. Do not forget that ParanoidRadio.com is now fully activated. You can not only stream, but you can also watch the last amazing episode, absolutely free, bothered, unedited, and unfiltered. Make sure you cop up some of the shirts. ParanoidRadio.com now has shirts, gear. We got flats. We got freaking bucket hats. We got fishing gear. Dude, all types of stuff. Make sure you check us out at ParanoidRadio.com. And do not forget to drop a 5-star review on Apple Podcast. This allows other people to enjoy the show as much as I enjoy making it. Ladies and gentlemen, I have an amazing interview, an amazing special guest next up. Check this out. Fuck being normal. I want magic. I am magic. Thank God. Shit. She is the hostess of a very popular pole studio. Yeah. Check this out, ladies and gentlemen. She's also a conqueror, a defender, and a definition of a triumphant warrior. With grace and sexiness and aggressive determination to live and thrive, tonight we welcome Pixie Goddess Rockstar. Wait, that's three fucking verbs in one name on IG.
Well, Roxy's, I'm very multifaceted.
From Pixie Goddess Rockstar. Welcome back. You know, you're the first hostess pole dancer, because I know you dance too. Amazing skills, by the way. On the show, I've always wanted to have somebody on to give me, like, tell me a little bit about that, about the history on that, if you don't mind. And then plug in the fucking pole studio. What's up? How you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today? Thank you for having me here on the show.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing the amazing energy.
Thank you. So, yeah, I started pole dancing about a year and a half ago. I've always wanted to do it. I heard the first time I ever heard about pole fitness, I knew right away it was something that I wanted to do. And that was like right before COVID started. So then when COVID started and everything got shut down, it was kind of put on hold for, you know, a couple of years. And then lo and behold, I heard that a new pole studio had opened up, like not even a mile away from where I live. So when that happened a year and a half ago, I stepped foot in there. And ever since I stepped foot into a pole studio, I never walked away. So my passion grew for it. And I realized that it became a healing sanctuary for me. It was a place to go to just like, you know, if I had a hard, stressful day, I'd be like, I'm going to the studio. If I had, you know, like, even if a good, if you, even, I think, oh my gosh, I'm like stuttering now. Even if I had a good day, I would go to the pole studio to dance.
It's a celebration. Right,
it really is. Like, just moving, I lost 27 pounds. So it's not just like, when I tell people that I pole dance, the first idea they get, of course, is stripping. And I don't have anything against that.
If I can inject, I'm a guy, okay? If thank God I know a little bit about what pole dancing is. It's a very athletic and very professional athletic activity. It's a sport. This is not just sexual and sensual and it empowers women, but it's also entertaining to watch. Come on, you gotta, fuck, dude, come on. It's very entertaining, but it's also very hard to do. It's not that easily, not anybody can do it. I've seen big girls do great, amazing things, and then I've seen real skinny, so-called athletic gym girls that can't even hold on to a pole. You see what I'm saying? And men sexualize it, and most of the times that you find a vertical pole, it's in a strip joint or a titty bar. Yeah, but it doesn't take away that it's a very professional and a very strong and very athletic, and it empowers your core, your arms, your legs. It gives you balance. Wow, all the things, which I want to talk about that. So the reason you're here is not only to share the passion you have for vertical poles, and guys, don't take it out of context, please. You know, people are going to take this out of context, but also your novella, your novel, your soap opera, your story. I've been doing some documentaries with a lot of our supporters and collaborators. And I like the idea because it doesn't only bring in sometimes true crime, but also brings in a genuine emotion that connects with the listeners, with the people, the average Joe that listens to the show. Dude, I'm an average Joe, bro. I have a 9-to-5 job. You know, I have kids. I have people to feed. So your story was originally heard on your boys podcast. If you mind, and mention, plug them in also. And you spoke about how you didn't only go through physical trauma, but you endured an amazing amount of medical procedures. Mm-hmm. First of all, before you get into your story, let people know where they can find you.
You can find me at Pixie Goddess Roxy, all one word.
Make sure you check out Pixie Goddess Roxy. I love the name. It's just so fucking, it's aggressive. All right. How does your story start? What happened to you?
So my surgery, I had my first surgery started back in 2006. And that happened because I acquired blood clots in my left leg. And the reason for that is because at the time I was pregnant, and my son now is like, he's almost 18. So It was a long time ago, obviously. He's 17. So when that happened, I was put on blood thinner. And the reason I got blood clots is because pregnancy, when you're pregnant, women produce an excess amount of estrogen. And when you have an excess amount of estrogen in your body, estrogen actually can cause blood clot formation. So it's a natural risk of pregnancy. And so that just happened to me. I got blood clots.
Were they able to treat your blood clots before? I mean, during the early stages of your pregnancy? Why did it get that bad?
I didn't find out. I was working full time as a medical assistant at the time, 40 hours a week, pregnant. I was like 8 months pregnant. And then I ended up getting like really bad, severe pain on the back of my left calf, like daily for weeks. And finally, I worked for an OBGYN and I was her medical assistant. And at the time she noticed that I looked like I was in pain, and she asked me what's wrong. And she was my doctor as well. Uh-huh. And I had told her, like, I'm having a lot of pain in my back leg for a couple weeks. And we had an ultrasound in the office at the time. So she was like, go jump on the ultrasound. I'm going to take a look at your leg.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did. And then she was like, my dear, you have blood clots. I'm sending you to the ER right now. You're going to the emergency room. And I was just like,
imagine if you weren't working there, what would have happened? Amputation, probably death.
Because blood clots, there's no telling like how fast a blood clot can travel. It was in my left leg. It can travel within minutes, hours, days, weeks, years. But they try to take, you know, when you find out about it, they try to take care of it right away.
And you were already pregnant? How many months in were you pregnant?
I was like 8.5 months pregnant.
8.5? You were about to fucking pop, dude. And you were still working full time? Who are you?
Yeah. Well, I was about to go on to my medical leave anyway. Yeah.
8.5 months? Anyway, that's fucking heroic.
Yeah. I was a mom at 16. So I've been hustling and grinding since I can remember. My oldest is 25.
He's wow. Yeah. Wait. If you don't mind me asking, I know it's really disrespectful, but fuck, dude, I just have to know.
I'm 42. I don't mind.
You look a lot younger.
Thank you.
Yeah. You look easily my age. I'm 33. Wild. All right. So, pregnant, 16, blood clots, almost dead. Your boss tells you, get the fuck out of here. Go to the ER.
Then I was 23 at the time.
23.
That was my third son.
Okay.
So I went to the ER, and sure enough, I had three blood clots in my leg. So they put me on blood thinner right away. Uh-huh. I had to give myself 2 shots a day of blood thinner. And then one of the risks of being on blood thinner is your blood is very thinned, just like water. So if you were to like cut yourself, you can like hemorrhage bleed. or even bleed internally if I were to like bump my leg even or something, that
what
little
happens
bruise.
In your menstrual cycle? Like what would happen? You bleed out to
I
death
mean,
too, or
you would bleed heavily, yes. So it would, it's very like, you have to be very careful. But wow. I mean, I was pregnant at the time, so I didn't have to worry about that. And then after I had my baby, of course, it takes a while before your period comes on, you know, so I was still on blood thinner. But so I was taking the blood thinner. I ended up having an early term pregnancy because of the stress from my body just being stressed out from everything.
Uh-huh.
So I had an early term pregnancy. Everything ended up good. My son was completely born healthy, thank God. I was okay. And then after I had him, he was only 4 months old, and I happened to bump my head. I was still taking blood thinner.
Were you pole dancing when you bumped your head?
No, I didn't start pole fitness until a year and a half ago.
Okay. All right. So you bumped your head. I don't want to know the story of how you bumped your head. Bumped your head pretty heavy? Or was it a hard bump?
Well,
or what happened?
It was really dark and I had just pulled up and I was trying to get my newborn. We had a 4-door Honda Civic, very low car. And I was trying to get like an old school one. And I was trying to get my little one out of the back of the car. So when I went to get him out, it was locked. So I turned around because, you know, you can unlock all the doors with the front door and driver. Mm-hmm. So I went to go unlock it and it was dark and I didn't see that the car door closed. So when I turned around and kneeled down to unlock the door, the corner of the door hit my forehead. I'm sure the car is pretty low, but it was like perfect height, me standing up the corner of the door. Yeah. And so I ended up immediately, like I barely had the slightest cut, but blood was gushing out everywhere. Like it was
because your blood was so thinned out because you had some heavy clots in your leg. Wow. And you were taking thinners before you had the baby?
I was taking like a really low dose. It's called Lovenox, a blood thinner while I was pregnant with him. And then after I had him, they put me on a heavier dose.
Mm-hmm.
Which
because
is
you just had him in and you had to heal, right? Because you bleed, obviously. Wow.
Well, I had him and then, I mean, the blood clots were still there. So I was still taking blood thinner, but they put me on a heavier dose. Like
as soon as he was out.
Yeah.
And it doesn't affect the baby, does it? Or
I mean, I had an early term pregnancy and come to find out the reason why I had which I knew at the time too, I had an early term pregnancy because the amniotic fluid that my baby was in was very low. And if it gets, so there's 10 centimeters of fluid. If it gets to 6 or 5, they will deliver the baby and get the baby out because it's very dangerous.
Oh, so wow. He was in danger.
He was. I was at 5 centimeters of amniotic fluid. Yeah, so they delivered him. They induced me. And come to find out, that's actually one of, you know, the risks of being on blood thinner while you're pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was kind of one of those things. It was like, don't take it and you can die either way. Like, so
yeah,
I had
either way.
Blood thinner.
So baby's delivered. Now you hit your head and you're in the ER again.
Yeah.
What happened?
So I had a CAT scan and I'm thinking, okay, whatever, probably a minor concussion. You know, they had already put the stitches. I just needed 2 stitches. Doctor comes in with results and is like, and at this time though, like, mind you, I'm completely out of it. Like I have slurred vision. My speech is like slurred. I couldn't even stand up because my gait was off. My balance was off.
Uh-huh.
I was forgetting words. I couldn't talk right. It was like dealing with a little drunk Roxy pretty much. And I was completely like sober of alcohol.
Yeah.
So the doctor came in, it was just like the results came back and, you know, you actually are going to need emergency brain surgery because blood leaked into the ventricle of your brain. And I was like in shock. I mean, I was still comprehending everything he was saying. And I was just like, I don't want brain surgery. And I looked at my mom and she looked at me. We were like, what the fuck? We were all tripping out, and I just looked at her and I was crying, and I was just like, I don't want brain surgery. And he looked at me and he's like, if you don't have brain surgery, he's like, I'm talking to you right now. He's like, you have, your vision is, you said your vision's blurry, your speech is off. He's like, you're forgetting words right now as I'm talking to you. He's like, what's happening? He's like, is you're slipping into a coma. What's next is you're gonna die. Your body's shutting down. You have to have it or you're gonna die.
Oh my God, dude. And you're processing this half
Yeah.
asleep, half drunk, half dead. How many halves
Not
you
drunk.
have?
Let's just clarify, not drunk. But if I were to give somebody an example of what it felt like, it's kind of like it kind of felt like that.
Yeah. Okay. You make the immediate decision. All right, take me in. Open up my head. What happened after?
So I was like, okay, give me the brain surgery. And I had the brain surgery, and I was in the hospital for 3 weeks. And I mean, of course, it was a horrible nightmare. They had pulled up like half of my hair and they shaved everything underneath. And so they did an incision from the middle of the top of my head all the way down to where my neck is.
Oh my God.
So I had a shaved head. I mean, underneath, I look like a freaking Indian with
Hey,
my
at least
head
they left
shaved.
you the
No kidding. I was
top half.
so like, and then not only that, like, so after the surgery, I had staples in my stomach because they put the ventricle, they put a tube in the ventricle of the brain. And then the tube is in your brain, but it comes out of the skull. So they drill a hole on the skull, right? But under the skin, on top of the skull, they bring down the tube and they bring it down the back of your neck. And then for me, they brought it all the way down inside my body, under my skin, into my stomach, so that the excess fluid from the ventricle can drain into my stomach. Because what the reason why I needed brain surgery is because when blood leaked into the ventricle of my brain, we have a channel, a vessel, right? So the ventricle is where the channel of our spinal fluid flows from
You
our
can, oh my
spine
God.
to our brain. So it's basically like the magic potion of our whole neurological human existence.
Yeah, the magic potion. I told you in the beginning of the show what you just posted. I don't want, what you said, I am magic. Now I know why. Okay,
Yeah.
so, all right, so they put a tube in your body. Fuck, this is gruesome. All right. This is some fucked up shit. I didn't know you were gonna go this deep. I didn't even know it was this fucked up. If I would have known this, I
This
wouldn't have
happened
had you
six
in.
times. Mind you, I've gone through this six times.
I don't want to take too much time from you, but I also I need to get to, okay, your healing part for the first one, because that's probably the one that opened up the gates. What happened to you? Okay, so tell me what happened. How'd you heal? And then did you hit yourself? How did you hit your head again? What happened, dude? Like, why six more times? I mean, five more times.
Okay,
The
so
devil's out
the
to get
first,
you, man. You are blessed.
oh, definitely, there's a spiritual warfare going on, most
Yeah.
definitely.
I like that.
And I
Okay.
know that I'm very powerful. We won't get into that. Okay,
No,
so
by all means, I love this stuff. Fuck. All right,
I
first, let
know
me
I'm on
get.
the right channel right now.
I
Like,
want to know
finally, someone wants to.
your headbanging experience, and then we're gonna get into the spiritual, because I do gotta get some spiritual talk out of you. I have to know.
Okay. Okay, so the first brain surgery led up to three consecutive surgeries. And the reason why is after the first one, I was in the hospital, I was healing. After 3 to 4 weeks, I was sent home because they had just taken the staples out. And I was like, I want to go home. Like, I'm ready to go home. And they're like, okay, we're going to let you go home in 3 days. We're just going to take the staples out. So they took the staples out. 3 days later, they let me go home. I went home. And immediately that night, I had the same symptoms, blurred vision, everything, like the same thing all over again.
Wait. So, did they touch your brain? What are you? Were you handicapped? Were you able to walk? Did you lose your any touch, feelings,
I
memories
mean,
lost?
I was cross-eyed.
Mind
One
if I
eye was
laugh.
like, no, everybody laughed. One eye was completely cross-eyed, and they were like, that is going to go back to normal. Your brain needs time to heal. It's the nerves, you know. So I was like, okay, whatever, like I'm alive. So anyway, I went home, and when they took the staples out, so the nurses would come and they would check on it. And some nurses like to touch shit and they don't wash their hands. So when I got sent home, I got sent home with staph. And
what?
Staph in the brain, yes.
What the fuck is staph? For the people like me that don't know.
It's an infection that gets into your bloodstream. And since it was in my brain, again, something's attacking my brain. My brain's trying to shut down. Just like it was trying to shut down.
Are you fucking serious, dude? That is the devil. All right. You got an infection in your brain again. Dude, it's just your. Did you ever buy a Honda? Do you still own that Honda?
No, I gave it away for free.
You gave it away, yeah.
I don't blame the Honda. It wasn't the Honda.
Okay. So, again, you're in the hospital, second time, staff, brain shutting down. They went in again. Yes.
So I go in again, slipping into a coma, but this time I have an infection, so I'm slipping away faster. And then they're like, we have to give you antibiotics, but we don't know which kind because we don't know what kind of infection you have. So we're pretty much just going to give you antibiotics until your cultures come back. The first one didn't work. The second antibiotics I was allergic to. By that time, I slipped
You're already
into
choking
a coma.
Up.
I
oh
was
my
in a coma.
God.
I went into a coma. For 3 days. They told my heart rate, my blood pressure, and my oxygen was so low that they told my parents, we think you need to go and say goodbye and call her family and say goodbye.
Oh my God, dude.
But when this happened, like everyone was sitting around my room and I can see everybody there and I can hear everybody. And what's crazy is like, I was telling my mom about this and she was like, what do you mean? You're in a coma. You didn't wake up till like, you know, the next day. I was like, no, I heard and seen everything. So I remember like everything.
You are recording, but you can't stop the recording. You can't do anything. Wow.
So that happened. And then I woke up after they figured out like what antibiotic work, the third antibiotic, it was the third day I woke up. And then when I woke up, I was in the hospital for like another 3 weeks. So, but when I woke up, mind you, I had slipped into a coma with an infection, went into a brain surgery to get the shunt out. So they had to open me back up, get that shunt out because of the infection. Then once they, you know, got the infection under control. So after I woke up from my coma, I went into another brain surgery to put the shunt back on the other side. So that's three consecutive brain surgeries.
Why in the other side?
I guess there was infection here that they were like wanting me to heal.
And that's because of these fucking nasty ass nurses fucking touching shit without washing their fucking hands.
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
Definitely.
That is some fucking heavy shit. You know, I'm a visualizer. I visualize this tension. I visualize four or five people, two boys, the doctor, three nurses, and they open a door, small room, and they're touching your feet, your toes, and one of them comes and your mom comes, touches your hair, and they're all crying, and you can't wake up, and you're like, fuck, dude, I want to tell you, and then you're recording everything they're doing and everything they're talking about, and fuck, dude, that is hardcore. And and you know what's funny? We're only up to your third brain surgery, right?
Yeah.
And this is traumatic. this is something that you didn't only physically go through, but now emotionally, morally, the impact that you're having on your kids by this time, because they're growing up without their mom weeks on. And then the healing process is not easy. You're constantly in pain, constantly drinking pills. Damaging your body, damaging your organs. Wow, dude, I'm just fucking in shock. Let's go to your
I didn't take any pain medicine.
You didn't feel pain or?
I'm very pain tolerant. I didn't take any.
Are you addicted to pain?
I'm not addicted to it. I just can't feel it very much. I think that's why pull worked out great for me, because pull's very painful. You bruise with it. It hurts.
Where are your parents from? If you don't mind me asking.
My dad's from Jalisco, and my mom was born here.
Oh, you're Mexican.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Native. My grandma and my grandparents on both sides are very close descendant Native.
Oh shit! Look at that. That's probably you have good genes. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Now, fourth. This is exciting. I can't wait for the next three. What happened?
So the fourth brain surgery. So that's three consecutive, right? Got sent home. Was cross-eyed for a whole year, but whatever. I'm good now. went on with my life. Yeah. And then, so mind you, the first three happened in 2006.
Oh my God.
And so we're already, it was like the end of 2006 because my son was born in October 31st on Halloween. And then, you know, all this time, by the time I get home from the hospital and I'm like, whatever, it's like, it's already January.
Yeah.
Right. Pretty almost. So, of 2007. So I go on with my life, everything's great. And then I got pregnant with my fourth because that incident happened with my third. So I get pregnant with my fourth. My OBGYN, who I worked for previously, 10 years before, pretty much, was like, why are you pregnant? You're not allowed to be pregnant. And I'm like, nobody told me that I was not allowed to be pregnant. Uh-huh. My neurologist didn't tell me. My neurosurgeon didn't tell me. I'm like, you're my OBGYN. I've been working for you. Like, no one ever told me. Like, you helped deliver my third one. Like, this is my fourth. I'm like, nobody told me. She's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, because we're like friends. And then so anyway, she sent me to go see my
I was gonna say something. You stay busy, girl. What the heck, dude? I'm done that too. I don't want no more. And fuck.
It's a anyway. Lot. Oh my gosh. I know. So I
blood clots again.
I got pregnant again, and then because of my, I got sent to a perinatologist, which happens to be like a specialist that tells you if your body is healthy enough and capable enough to harbor a baby to term healthy, you know, without any risks of anything, especially, you know, potentially death for you or the baby or both of you. Mm-hmm. Went to see my perinatologist, San Diego. She tells me, she comes in with like a whole stack of papers, and she says, she like sits down and she looks really freaked out. And she's like, you're really, you know, like brace yourself. You're not going to like my advice, but you know, don't get mad at me. Keep in mind, like, we are perinatologists. We're pretty much like a pregnancy police. And we tell you if it's healthy enough to continue a pregnancy or not. And then she's like, I'm holding a stack of papers of high risks on why your body cannot harbor this baby. And she's like, you know, you're not going to like what I'm about to say, but we're allowed to recommend what's right for your body. But of course, you make the ultimate decision. She says, I recommend that you get an abortion.
Yeah.
And I looked at her and I was just like, well, you know, what's funny is that I've already had three brain surgeries. And who's to say that what if I get an abortion and then I get in my car and then get in an accident and die? Because her reasoning was, because I told her, no, I'm not doing it. And she's like, okay, do you understand that you already have three children who are used to having their mother? If you go through this pregnancy and something happens to you or your baby or both of you, or what if you deliver this baby and then something happens to you and then you have four children without a mother? And that's when I told her, I get that, but who's to say I don't get in a car and get in an accident and die?
Word.
And I'm like, so.
and then your kids are still left behind. I hear you.
If I'm going to go, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
So I told her I'm going to go through with it. And I did. And everything, you know, of course, I was on blood thinner with this pregnancy again, shots twice a day. I was on bed rest. It was a high risk, scary pregnancy.
Word.
For sure. I was not even allowed to deliver my fourth child naturally. I had to be put to sleep for a C-section, because in order to be C-sections, you're normally awake. And the reason why is because they give you an epidural and they put it in your spine. And that's so that you don't feel the pain and you can be awake, because it's dangerous if they put you to sleep. Word. They couldn't even do that. They had to put me to sleep because they couldn't give me the epidural because it could cause a blood clot.
Hematoma. Back to the fucking cross eye. There we go. Okay.
Literally. So I delivered him under anesthesia. I went to sleep, woke up, and had a baby.
And then when did you have the fourth surgery? Okay, while giving birth?
I went home, had him for like 3.5-4 months. And then one day I woke up one morning. I remember it very clearly. I woke up one morning and I was just like, my eyes were so blurry. I couldn't see anything. And I felt, my head felt like really groggy. And I felt a lot of pressure, and I felt pressure in my eyes. And it was as if I couldn't open my lids because of all the pressure.
Word.
And then I felt nauseous. And right away I got up, went to vomit. I was so nauseous. I had a huge headache. I knew immediately something was wrong with my brain. I knew immediately. I called my mom. I said, Mom.
So this wasn't because you hit yourself or anything. It was just throughout time. It's something because, triggered it again.
Well, it's the blood thinner, the pregnancy, the stress of being under anesthesia. Our body goes through a lot. And so it's because, so the, and then also you have to remember it had already been like almost 10 years since the last one. So a foreign object in our body fights for against foreign objects. So it just malfunctioned. It stopped working. So I told my mom, like, you're going to, you know, don't be scared. I love you, but I need a brain surgery. She was like, what are you talking about? And I told her, like, I have symptoms. So she came, picked me up.
Wow.
And I went and had my fourth brain surgery. And then that one was like really easy for me because I knew what to expect.
The procedure. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to like candy coat. Like, yes, getting to the hospital for me was hard. It was scary to the point where I even told my mom, I was like, Mom, just, I'm not going to the hospital right now or today. I want you to come over and I want you to sleep with me. I just want you to hold me. And then tomorrow you can take me to the hospital. And I went outside and I walked around and I was just like, dude, I don't know if I'm going to fucking wake up. Like, this is crazy. You know, like another brain surgery.
Mama's hugs and Vicks fixes everything.
Seriously.
Oh, shit. All right, yes. Fourth down. We got two more to go.
Well, the fourth is we're not done with fourth. The fourth is the NDE. I had a near-death experience.
What happened there? Oh, here we go. Here we go. Uh-huh, the juicy part.
We're getting into the good stuff. Yes, okay.
What happened?
So I go into the, you know, my surgery. I remember being wheeled into the, you know, prep room. They put the mask. I'm counting back. Next thing you know, I am looking from the ceiling down. And I'm very consciously aware that I am not in my body. And I'm looking around trying to figure out where the fuck I'm at. And I was looking down and I just saw doctors and I realized, oh my God. Like, I could hear, this is the crazy part. I could hear my own voice as if I had a mind. So if you like plug your ears and talk, that's what I heard.
Wait. Whoa.
But it was my thoughts, though. My thoughts had a voice. I learned later, because of that experience, you bet your ass I was researching shit. I learned later we have a conscious mind and our voice is a frequency. And I discovered our voice is part of our consciousness and it comes with us. And that's why it's so powerful. When we say things, we have to be careful because that frequency we're putting out, it is so powerful.
I've said this on the show hundreds of times. Every single time you speak about yourself, you speak in glory, you speak positively, you speak always in the future, and you always know that your brain cannot comprehend joke. Your brain cannot transfer that frequency as humor. There's no humor. It's only survival and adaptability. And that's why when you speak into existence, even scripture says, First of John. First was the word, and the word was God. And it's not the word was God. God, the frequency, the fucking power, the manifestation strength. Yeah. We are divinely created. I've always said this shit. Conspiracy, man, is fucking amazing. This is not conspiracy theories. This is just fucking life. Get used to it, motherfuckers. True.
Literally.
So you just... This is sick. I told you, visualizing clogged up ears, and you're talking to yourself in your voice. You found out that your frequency is your voice. You go with you. It's your conscience. So what happened? Yeah. Out of body experience.
So I'm looking down and I'm like, oh my gosh, where am I at? Oh my gosh, I'm in the hospital. Oh my gosh, that's me. I'm having brain surgery. And then I told myself, get back in your body. Because I was so scared. I was like, get back in your body. Go back in your body. Get back in your body. And I was trying to go back in my body and I couldn't. And then I felt something pull me. And this is crazy too, because we even have our energy body, right? Our spirit body. So I felt a pull. And when something pulled me, it pulled me so fast and so high that I felt a turn in my stomach.
Oh my God. Like you're in a roller coaster. Like when you feel that.
Like when you're a little kid and you're on a swing and when you come down, yeah, or a roller coaster, you feel like, so that's what I felt.
Wait, dude. That is sick. You are fucking crazy. Interesting. Okay. Boom. The thing. Okay. Sorry.
I get like pulled into this black tunnel and like so fast. I just know that I'm being sucked into this black tunnel and it's like everything's dark. And next thing you know, I felt like I was spit out into like nothingness. And the only way like I can describe it for people that have never experienced that is if when you jump into a swimming pool that's really, really deep. So you're out of the water. You're jumping on, you know, like the diving board. And then when you jump into the water and you go deep, next thing you know, everything's calm, everything's quiet. It feels like you're kind of just floating and you're just like in space. So that's what I felt. I was spit out into just like nothing. Everything was completely dark, but it felt like I was just like floating. And I didn't see like that I had a body or anything, but I could see everything. Like I saw stars, what I call them, and perceived them as stars. But there was like lights and orbs of energy, and it went on forever, like all around, up and down, all over the place. And they were like somewhere far, somewhere near, somewhere like different. They were all different colors. And I could hear my voice. And I'm saying, I was like, oh my God, where am I? And as soon as I said that, I realized I felt so much love, like overwhelmingly amount of love. It was so beautiful. And when I felt that, I knew instantly that I was home. Because then I said, oh my God, I'm home. Like I knew that I was home. Like I said that and I was like, I'm home. Oh my God, I'm so happy to be home. By this time, I forgot my entire life on earth. I just knew that I was home and I was happy to be home. And I've never until this day felt that much in that amount of love. And then I realized, because I kept saying, I feel so much love. I'm home. I'm home. And then I realized I am love. Like if you feel that much love, like you are, I realized I was love. And then after that, I asked myself, oh my gosh, I'm home. Well, where was I? And then I looked down, and this is crazy because everyone always asks me, because I saw Earth, and everyone always asks me, was it round? Was it flat? I couldn't tell if it was round or flat. Like I could see it far away, and I could just see that like it was Earth. And I looked down and I was like, oh my gosh, because I could look down around and all over the place, right? Like I could see everything everywhere. And I knew in that moment, I was like, oh my God, I was on Earth. And then I knew, because of what I was feeling was super, super timeless. I knew when I was on Earth, I was like, wow, I was on Earth. That was like a blink of an eye. I knew that I was on Earth like this. And then when I said that, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm home. I'm so happy to be here. And then I heard, well, before I heard the voice, I literally, this is the craziest thing ever, because I was like, okay, I was on Earth. That was a blink of an eye. And the next thing you knew, I know, I knew everything. It like flashed within me. I knew everything that there was to know. And then I said, oh my God, I know everything. And I can hear, like, the way that I'm telling you and how you're hearing my voice right now is how I was hearing myself say this to myself. But like,
Wow.
it's like within my conscious mind. And then I said, oh my God, I am love and I am everything. And I'm home. I'm so happy. And
Oh
then
my
I heard a
God.
voice. I heard a woman's voice at that, right in that moment. I heard a woman's voice. And she said, yes, you are home. And I just saw this beautiful light in the distance. And I knew it was coming from her, but I can hear her in my mind. So later on, because of that experience and like reading and research, and like, I realized, oh my God, we're telepathic. We can hear each other.
We are telepathic. I used to
Oh
have I don't want to say this. I don't want to hurt anybody's emotions, but my ex and I, we used to have full-on conversations, and not like the way you're thinking.
my
Like
God. No, it's energy.
we would have, we were so connected, and we broke up because I was a fucking cokehead, and I wasn't man enough to fucking fight for what was mine. That's why we broke up. Not because she cheated or I cheated. No, I was a fucking bitch. That's why we broke up. The man is the leader, and I didn't lead. That's the problem. So. Again, not to pull like any intensity in the story, but her and I, she was also native. We were I did a lot of bunch of sessions with her for a Mescalero Apache coming forth of a man. I got my spirit name. I was
Did you say
assigned guy.
Apache?
Yeah, Mescalero Apache.
I have Apache.
Oh wow, look at that. Oh, shit. Bound to cross paths. So yeah, I don't know what the fuck native I am. I know I'm a fucking mutt, but I have heart. That's what matters. So I used to have full on. I used to talk like see her, and I would just make like a face expression, and I would think a sentence, and she would be like, "I right?" And I'm like, "Well, like, what? Did you hear me?" She's like, "I think I heard you." I'm like, "What? Did you say this?" I'm like, "Yeah." Like, what the fuck? We'll have like full on like sentences, dude. We'll
Yeah.
be far from each other, and we're like fucking thinking, and then we just bing. You know, it's
You were
amazing.
telepathically connected. He was probably your twin flame.
You never know. Yeah, we broke up because I was a bitch. Anyway, I know she's a great person. That's the most I can say now because I'm a married man, and you know I have respect for both women. And that's something about relationships. You fall in love with different women differently. The way I love my daughters is demolishes anything and anyone,
Of
obliterates
course.
it. You're a fucking speck of shit in the fucking ether, obviously.
Don't say
But
it
my, but like the love, I love my wife like my best friend. She's my right hand,
like
emotionally, economically, everything. She is everything I got. I'm blessed to have a strong woman like that. But my ex, in different ways that I would never probably have connection with anybody else, my ex and I, she's great in her own category as well. You
that.
can't take away anything from these people. And women, they are so complicated. You guys are vicious and so sweet. And you can't live without them, and you can't live with them. It's fucking crazy. And I have two
Same
daughters.
with
I'm
men.
not for no. Don't even start with me, girl.
I've been living without a man very greatly.
No comment. Anyway, back to the brain surgeries. We're running out of time. My baby's screaming at me from the other room. Tumor surgery. Wait, the outer
No,
body
that's.
experience. This is gonna be the name of the fucking show. This is the trailer right here. The outer body experience. Tell me
Yeah.
more about the spiritual, like your spiritual present. Before we end, and we could fast forward the two brain
So
surgeries.
I am very spiritual, and obviously it happened because of my outer body experience. I started, as soon as like after that surgery, I came home and I started seeking, you know, that connection again, what I felt, that
Word.
love, that peace within, that enlightenment. So I went to church, joined a church. I got baptized at 35, and
Amen.
it was beautiful. It was beautiful. But I started, there's more to it than just what, you know. It gets deep. It
You want
gets
to
deep.
do this a second party?
Can
This is
do
my
it. Yeah.
official invitation. Because yeah, we can't fit you. It all. It's, there's so much information to go through. Yeah, it's a documentary, but this is a spiritual awakening in exactly. A woman that thrived through sickness and it was being hunted down by demonic entities and by tragic incidents, bro, and by a fucking deadly Honda. This is wild. You know what? Let's do that. Part two. Okay. We'll be coming up. This is beautiful because we ended up on your fourth and the out of body experience. I love it. I love it.
Where and we're not done with that, you? So we can pick up with that.
On absolutely. Yeah. If you can, send me the date, please. And I'm being dead ass serious. Send me the date and the time, and let's do it again, dude. Part two on this. It'll be fucking awesome. What? Where can people find you, right, Roxy?
So Pixie Goddess Roxy on Instagram, all one word, no underscores, no dashes, no periods. P-I-X-I-E, and then Goddess Roxy.
That's right.
R-O-X-I-E.
Pixie Goddess Roxy on Instagram. Make sure you check her out. And you could also find her once this episode drops on the description of the show and on ParanoidRadio.com under the special guests and links tab. Make sure you check us out, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Oh, Roxy, so much for that very refreshing story exciting moment. Dude, at this point, if the listeners don't like it, I don't care because I like it and I'm going to come back to part two.
Perfect. Honestly, yeah, you know this is my soul journey. So it's not about what the fuck they like. It's about what my soul purpose is. And they have one too. And if they don't like mine, then they can figure out what theirs is.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us. And with that spicy tamale towards the end, I want to thank the Lord for allowing me to be here. And I thank every single one of you for allowing me into your space. Do not forget to drop out a five-star review on Apple Podcast. It allows other people to enjoy the show as much as I enjoy making it. Bye-bye, Roxy. Paranoid Radio.